It so happens that one of my favorite Bible scholars, one of the ones who I listen to a lot on the TV, and who I find most helpful in her presentation of biblical truth, is Joyce Myers. Anybody listen to Joyce? Now, I'm going to tell you, Joyce can get a little high-handed, okay? She can be a little dogmatic. She can be a little like some other pastor you might know, okay? But Joyce presents truth in a unique way without a lot of stuff, okay? And I like to listen to her because of the way she teaches. Now, I was listening to her the other day, and she held up her Bible. And she holds up her Bible a lot. Hers is usually like this when she holds it up. She's walking around with it, kind of like Billy Graham. But she was holding it up this way. And she said, I quote, "Over the years of my personal study of the Scripture, I have come to the conclusion that the Bible really has only one message." Now, that perked my ears, because I instantly agreed with her. This book contains only one message. And now I wanted to know, had Joyce gotten it? And guess what? She was right on. She says, the Bible says, here is God's way. Yes, Joyce, you are right. Here are the basic instructions for life. They're all right here. Here is God's way, she said. Follow its teachings and you will be blessed. Ignore it and you will have trouble all the days of your life. I want you to know that I'm holding it up to affirm the fact today. One message. Here is God's way. Follow it, and God will bless you. Ignore it, and you will have trouble all of your days. This is God's way. Following its teachings will bring you blessing. Ignore it, and you will have trouble upon trouble all of your days. Now, Dr. Englert, history professor at Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary a billion years ago, said if you want to remember it, you got to say it at least seven times in a row. I'm getting close. Okay? You getting it? Here it is. Follow it, be blessed. Ignore it, trouble. Now, it's true that every life has its troubles. Have you noticed? Anybody here who never had one? A trouble, that is, not a life. Okay, some of you don't have a life either, but the issue is, even in what you think is life, you had trouble, right? But the Scripture, God says, if you love the Lord, God will bring blessing to you even out of your trouble. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. I have said it through my whole ministry. Joyce would agree with me. Tattoo it on the insides, the backsides of your eyelids, so that when you close them at night, you read Romans 8, 28. I may not like what I'm going through right now. It may be bothering me, and I may not be able to see how anybody could bring good out of it, but God's word says it will happen, and therefore I stand in faith on the word of God. I trust my belief. I will not succumb to what I see. God says that even this thing I call trouble has to bring me good if I love the Lord. You getting it? Now, today's text, that odd little passage of Scripture which Jeff read to you so well, the message is really very simple. In that passage of Scripture, God says to the children of Israel and throughout time to all of us, do no detestable thing. We'll get there. He wants to know what's detestable. Okay, it says don't do it, whatever it is. Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. If you read the instructions, you'll discover what God considers to be detestable. Okay? Do no detestable. It's don't do it. No detestable. You getting it? Don't do it. And then, as example, it gives us two things which God considers to be detestable, which Israel, and therefore all of God's children throughout time, must not do. So he gives us two detestable things. Don't do anything that's detestable. Here are two you must not do. With me? Detestable thing number one, offering your children as sacrifices. Don't do it. It is detestable. Now, in the time, at the time when Deuteronomy was written, there were two religions which were practiced commonly among the people of the time that required human sacrifice. One was the worship of Baal Asherah. And over time, I've talked to you about the worship of Baal Asherah. Baal is a great, huge bronze god. He's hollow inside. His hands reach out like this. Okay, they would build a fire in his feet and heat the statue's hands until it glowed red. And then they would lay their helpless infants in those hands and watch them burn to death while they participated in sexual orgies with each other at the base of the altar. Okay? It's a detestable thing. Do not do it, God says. Don't lay your infants in the hands of that awful God. It's detestable to the Lord. And the second religion that was common in the time that practiced human sacrifice was the worship of the god Moloch. Moloch requires you to give your sons and daughters, your teenagers, as burnt offerings to him. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. There are times when every parent would gladly offer their teenager as a burnt offering. Okay? Okay. When Sharon was reading that part in the litany this morning, there are people in the back were laughing. Okay, because we're thanking God for young people, oh my goodness, and for their irreverence, boy, did that bring it down. Okay, now listen to me. What they did was offer their kids as sacrifices to Moloch, to make Moloch happy. And God says it is a detestable thing when you enter the promised land, don't get involved with it, do not allow those people to influence you. It is offensive to God. Don't do it. You're with me. Now you say, okay, today we're home free because we don't have any Baal Asherah worship. I talked to you a few weeks ago about the common desire to rebuild the temple to Baal and Asherah. But the issue for me is we still offer ourselves, our children, as sacrifice through the act of abortion. We're basically offering them to the wisdom of the age. And we're saying that the age, which has declared it okay, knows more than does the Word of God, which says don't do it. So we become engaged in a detestable practice of our culture, which offers our children, which are God's gifts, in sacrifice to something other than him. When I dedicated my babies, I gave them to the Lord. Okay? I hope you did the same. We should return thanks for them, accept them. It's not all going to be good. Okay? They all have their moments. Okay? So did I. Okay? Now, God says, don't do it. Here is God's way. Follow it, and you will be blessed. Ignore it, and you will have trouble upon trouble. Now, I'm going to offer you the proof of that right now. You look at the land in which we live, which has legalized abortion, and you tell me, you develop the case that proves this land has been blessed from that day to this one. Have we not seen trouble upon trouble? Do we not continue to see trouble upon trouble? Oh, could it just maybe be related to the detestable practice that God forbids into which we have entered as legal? Could it? Could it? Isn't it what the Word of God says? Why are we surprised that we have trouble upon trouble? God says, do no detestable thing. Now, I need to step aside because I am afraid that there may be someone in the congregation who has participated in abortion because you did it without knowing that it was forbidden by the Word of God. If you're not getting the message, let me just say it real clearly. Abortion is a sin against God. So is lying. So is deceit. And what do you do when you discover that you have sinned against God? You confess it to the Lord and you repent. You tell God that you are sorry. And if you do that, what will God do? Hold it against you for all of your days. No, that's not what the Word says. It says if we confess our sins, He is quick to forgive us of our sin. Abortion is no different than any other sin. If you have committed a sin before God, you confess it for what it is, and you rejoice in the love of the Lord, which sets you free. You understand? Okay. But the Word of God says, do no detestable thing. And the first of the detestable things it offers in the passage that Jeff read to us today is offering our children as sacrifices. Now, the detestable thing number two is the practice of divination. What is divination? Well, in the text that Jeff read to you, there is a list of words. The words are there to define what the term divination means. Divination, the first word, is the general Hebrew word which includes all types of magic. Now, you're going to forgive me here because you will even occasionally see Christian churches which engage in magic shows. Okay? The word divination is not, it's all types of magic. And my warning to you is that you need to be careful about all types of magic because certain types of magic lead us into other types of magic. Okay, now, as the list of words in the chapter goes on, they become more specific. So the second word is sorcery. And sorcery is the occult use of magic or the occult form of magic. It's what, it's seances, all of this stuff that goes on around us in the name of magic, but which is really satanic at its origin. And then it says, you shouldn't consult one who interprets omens. Now, you want to know what omens are, right? They are tarot cards, they are tea leaf readings, they are palm readings. Those are the kinds of things which are included in the phrase interprets omens. Okay? So if you're sitting there looking in your teacup trying to figure out what the tea leaves say in the bottom, you have trouble because we don't use loose tea leaves anymore. But if you're doing that, or you got a friend who wants you to look at the tarot cards with them, say no. Get away from it. The next word is witchcraft. I'm going to tell you something. There is no such thing as a good witch. God's word condemns them all alike. I hate the bumper sticker, which I see often when I go to the post office in Wagontown. Because it says, I'm a good witch. Okay? No, you're not. If you are a witch, you are practicing what the Word of God forbids, and you can't be good and do that. Okay? Witchcraft is condemned by the Bible. It is simply why you do not dress your little girls up as witches at Halloween. Okay? The next one is casting spells. This calling down means to call down curses or blessings on anyone in any other name but the name of Yahweh. Okay? It's really hard to curse people in the name of Yahweh. Okay? Did you ever try it? I mean, it's hard. Okay? But in other names, you can ask that they all bad kinds of bad things happen to them. That's what we're talking about when we say casting spells. The next one is consulting a medium or a spiritist. This is seeking advice about any subject from someone who practices the black arts. That's what it means. Okay, can I just tell you a secret? You probably don't want to know what your future holds unless it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And then you need to be humble. Okay? The next one is consulting the dead. It includes, the Hebrew word includes any consultation addressed to a person who is deceased. Okay, now, any of you do Masterpiece Theater? Okay, you do Masterpiece Theater in the Poldark thing. The great aunt is constantly doing tarot cards. Okay, detestable thing. There it is, right before us. Okay, now, if you watch Downton Abbey, anybody do Downton Abbey? There is this wonderful Christmas series where they're all playing with the Ouija board. Okay, and you know who they want to talk to? The dead. And that's consulting the dead. So if you got a Ouija board in your house, you better get rid of it. Okay, because the scripture says, have nothing to do with that. Okay, leave the dead alone. Okay, those who have gone to hell are bothered enough. They don't need to know about you. And those who are in heaven would simply tell you one thing. Trust God. There you go. This detestable act, divination, like the first one, is prevalent in our culture today. But God's word warns us away from both of these things, and the warning is of severe punishment. If you do them, God says, you will be driven out of God's blessing, out of the land of promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, are you with me? Just come with me just a little bit. America was God's land of promise. America could be God's land of promise. But it's being taken away because we are becoming increasingly involved with what God's word says is detestable. You got it? And it says specifically that if you do the detestable things, the things which this book says do not do, you will be driven out of the land of God's blessing. You hear me? It's real simple. Just don't do what God's word tells you not to do. So here's what you need to do today in order to please God. You ready? Number one, if you have been involved in these things, break, stop that involvement. Number two, if you got a spell book in your house, go home and burn it. If you've got two or three, you can just have a really big fire. Number three, you got a Ouija board somewhere, burn it. Don't put it in the garbage. Don't let somebody else find it. Destroy it because it is detestable to the Lord. Number four, come out from among them, the people who practice these things, and be holy, that is, be different, that you might know the full blessing of God's love on your life. And if you have done these things, simply confess it to the Lord, repent of it, and He will set you free. Remember, from cover to cover, one message. This is God's way. Follow it. Follow it and you will be blessed. Ignore it and you will have trouble upon trouble all of your days. Do what God says.